You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
A number of years ago, a British newspaper offered a prize to the person who gave the best definition of friendship. Capturing the extent of what a friend is and what friendship means is surprisingly complex. And so people sent in their responses. One person said that a friend is one who multiplies joy, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. Another said it was someone who understands our silence. Still another defined friendship as a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. But the winning response was this: a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. It's brilliant. We've been working through a series called The Way of Friendship. And my desire is to help you be a better spiritual friend to the people in your life. And here's what I mean by spiritual friend. A spiritual friend is someone who genuinely cares about your life with Jesus. We want to be better friends in that regard, to care for the people around us as they love and follow Jesus in their own life. And we've been working through a few characteristics over the last number of weeks that mark what a true spiritual friendship really is. We've seen that a spiritual friend is someone who helps us see God, and that a spiritual friend is someone who helps us be ourselves and see ourselves. And a spiritual friend is someone who shows us the way of following Jesus. And last week, Pastor Marcus, he took us through an example from the scriptures in the spiritual friendship between David and Jonathan, and it touched upon many of these aspects of spiritual friendships. And today I want to finish up our sermon series by talking about the cost of friendship. Though friendships are absolutely necessary in our journey of faith, being a true spiritual friend to another person, it costs us something. Jesus tells a story to a group of people who are traveling with him one day, and the story is in Luke chapter 14. And Jesus says this: suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." And Jesus here is teaching people to consider the cost of being his disciple, to consider what we are getting ourselves into before diving in and following him with our life. And well, the same is true about stepping in to spiritual friendships. We should consider the cost. We would do well to consider the cost before we jump into a spiritual friendship, because living as a spiritual friend to another person is part and parcel of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so today, I want to turn your attention to the story in Mark chapter 2 that Luke read, but I'm going to read again. As we consider what the cost of friendship really is. And here's what I want to do with the text this morning. I first want to orient you to what the story is all about and how it is being told in Mark chapter 2. That's an important first step. But then I want to focus your attention on the story that is taking place in the story and orient you to the spiritual friendships and the beauty in them that we see in that text. So I invite you to turn with me once again to Mark chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 12. And so I encourage you to open your Bibles and join me in Mark chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning we invite you to grow us as spiritual friends to other people. And Lord, I know that this actually is a painful topic for some because they desire to be in deep, meaningful relationships, but feel that void. Jesus, minister to them specifically today. And Lord, to all of us, we pray that you would be leading us. We want to be your disciples. We want to be your church in every sense of the word. And so in this area of friendships that go deep and care for one another's life in Jesus, we pray that you would bring fruit and blessing and joy so that people would see your love at work among us and be drawn to the light that is yourself. So lead us, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Now, at the outset, we should note that this passage of Scripture isn't teaching us the seven steps to being a spiritual friend. It's not what the text is primarily about. It is a story that is first and foremost about Jesus demonstrating his own authority to both forgive sins and heal the sick. It's all about Jesus holding God's power and authority to restore human beings, both spiritually and physically. It's what the story's about. You likely picked that up as I read the scripture, I'm sure. The scene unfolds in a rather dramatic way, doesn't it? A paralyzed man is brought to the feet of Jesus, and we all anticipate that Jesus immediately is going to heal the man's broken body. But instead, Jesus looks at the man and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It's not quite the outcome that we were expecting in the story, is it? It's a twist. We see a physical need in the man who was brought to Jesus, but Jesus sees something different, a spiritual need. So he speaks a word of God's forgiveness over the man, over his life. Mark this, church. No human being can ever flourish in themselves apart from God's forgiveness. And we all need God's forgiveness. So in effect, Jesus begins here by restoring the paralyzed man's life, by restoring him to God. And this is where some of the religious leaders got angry. You see, in Jesus' day, you couldn't just go around saying that God forgives your sins unless you were God himself. It's all very blasphemous to do what Jesus did. And so, Jesus then, he proves to these religious leaders that God had in fact given him authority to forgive sins. And he proves it by showing them that he possessed the authority to heal bodies. Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And that's what he does. It's amazing. Jesus restores the paralyzed man's life by restoring his legs to God's good working order. You see, in the end, the story in Mark chapter 2 is all about Jesus demonstrating his authority to restore human beings, both spiritually and physically, by forgiving sin and healing bodies. It's a mark of God's kingdom come to the earth. Yet in the middle of this larger story, there is another story that is being told. And it's the story of an abiding spiritual friendship between a paralyzed man and four of his friends. And I want to orient you to that story this morning because I believe in it we see the beautiful cost of friendship. Try and picture the scene in your imagination. Jesus is preaching to a large crowd that is gathered at a house in Capernaum. People are packed right in to the very back of the walls. They're spilling out the front door. There is no room at the inn. And if they had such a thing in that day, the fire marshal would have shut the party down because they were at max capacity. And the rumor around town was that Jesus had begun announcing the good news that God's kingdom was being established upon the earth, which meant that God was now acting to bring all that is broken in Israel and in the world back into God's good working order. And the proof of this good news of the kingdom of God come to the earth was the healings that Jesus was performing. The sick were being made well. The tormented were being released from evil spirits. The broken were being restored, which would have been big news, huge news for this paralyzed man and his four friends. If only they could get their friend to the feet of Jesus, he might be able to heal the man of the great burden he lived with of immobility. But the five of them, they arrive just a little too late to the party, don't they? The place is packed full by the time they get there. And now, the text doesn't tell us this, but I imagine that they are too late to get a place inside the house because you can't move very fast when you're carrying the dead weight of disabled limbs attached to a full-grown man. Imagine with me what that would have been like for the people carrying the mat along with the man on it, straining with a sense of urgency, knowing that as time passes, the house is filling up, watching others brisk past them, all the long talking amongst themselves, saying, "We better hurry up or we won't get a spot." Yet all the while, these friends, they strain and they pull, taking half steps one at a time as they carry their friend on a mat to his salvation. Think about it. While the four friends never really knew the burden that the paralyzed man lived with, I believe in that moment they had a taste of it. Wanting to get somewhere quickly, but stuck in the frustration of limited mobility. Seeing an opportunity ahead to which others glide with ease, but you yourself struggle towards. When the four friends carried the mat that day, they tasted their friend's bitterness. And let me take the imagining one step further. I imagine this wasn't the first time that these friends had carried the mat and the man on it. Indeed, the survival of a paralyzed man in the first century Capernaum would depend on the care and concern of his friends. I suspect these four friends had carried the mat many times before that day. And here is where I see the cost of spiritual friendship. Spiritual friends carry the mat. They bear the burdens of their friends. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians 6, chapter 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, to love God and love our neighbor, it is fulfilled by carrying the mat, by bearing the burdens that our friends live with. What does it mean to bear someone else's burden? It means entering into their grief and being fully present with them in the midst of their pain. It means not shying away from the difficult things that arise in another person's life, but facing them head on with that person. Bearing someone else's burden means taking up their struggles, not primarily to fix them or their situation, but to let them know that they do not face their struggles alone. I have a Jewish friend who told me about a beautiful example of bearing someone else's burden, what it looks like after the death of a loved one. For 1 week following the funeral in the Jewish tradition, people enter into a time called Shiva. It's a week-long observance where people will enter the home of those who have lost someone. They enter the home of those who are mourning as a way of entering into and sharing their grief. And the practice is sometimes called sitting Shiva, because all that is required is simply your presence. No words are necessary. Simply sitting in that space of loss, being present to another person, is a way of bearing the burden of grief. It's carrying the mat. Bearing another person's burden is the hallmark of spiritual friendship. And it can take all kinds of forms. You can imagine some for yourself. It looks like sitting Shiva with someone else, but it also takes other forms. Helping a single mom raise her kids. Attending an AA meeting with someone who is struggling. Bringing a meal to someone who is in need. Being a safe, patient, listening ear when doubt creeps in to your friend. Checking in on a friend who is suffering under the weight of depression and mental illness. Bearing one another's burdens looks like carrying the mat of a paralyzed man. That is the cost of friendship. J.R. Miller, a Christian writer at the turn of the 20th century, says this about friendship. To become another's friend in the true sense is to take the other into such close living fellowship that their life and ours are knit together as one. It is far more than a pleasant companionship in bright, sunny hours. A genuine friendship is entirely unselfish. It seeks no benefit or good of its own. It does not love for what it may receive, but for what it may give. Its aim is not to be served, but to serve. Spiritual friends carry the mat. And so let me ask you, how can you carry the mat in the life of your friends this week? How can you help bear their burden? When these four people arrive at the crowded house carrying their friend on the mat, there's no room for them. The house is jam-packed, so they devise a plan. They climb onto the roof, pulling with them their friend to the very top. They tear open a hole in what would have been either a mud or a thatched roof, and they lower the man down on his mat through the hole in the roof right to the feet of Jesus. Now, it probably doesn't need to be said, but let me say it anyways. This would have been a disrespectful thing to do to another person's house. It was no different then than it would be today. But the friends thought it worth the risk. They thought it worth the risk in order to bring their friend to the feet of Jesus. They were willing to put their own honor, their own reputation on the line in order to serve their friend's deep need for the Messiah. That is the cost of spiritual friendship. But let me direct your attention to another angle of their action in tearing open the roof. The four friends, they set out to bring the paralyzed man to Jesus, but they encounter that barrier, the large crowd and the four walls that separate them from the goal of bringing this friend to Jesus. And so they come up with their solution. They tear open the roof and they create access for their friend to the Son of God, the one with the power and authority to restore a human life. These four people are, in fact, interceding on behalf of their friend. They're interceding on his behalf. They use their own ability to do what the paralyzed man could not do for himself. Their actions, they speak words like, "We must get our friend to Jesus." What our friend needs more than anything else is to get to Jesus. And so they do that for the man. They do for the man what he cannot easily do for himself. They tear open the roof and make way to God. Spiritual friends do that. They tear open the roof. They intercede on behalf of their friends in order to bring them to Jesus, to a deeper encounter of Jesus, to the ministry of Jesus, to saving faith in Jesus. They find ways to tear open the roof and bring their friends to Jesus because Jesus is the one who has power to restore a human life. I find it interesting that in the story, that when these four people intercede on behalf of their paralyzed friends, Jesus looks at the four, he sees their faith. Then he says to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Did you catch that? Now, we know that every person must bring their own sin to God for his forgiveness. We have a responsibility to do that on our own. But here we see something remarkable. Jesus sees the faith of the four, and then in turn, he forgives the one. And the point is, the paralyzed man benefited from the faith of his four friends. In some way, the paralyzed man benefited from the deep faith of his four friends. Their belief in the power that Jesus had brought Jesus' power to bear in the life of this one man. And that is how intercession works. People of faith, standing in the gap, faithfully petitioning on behalf of those who need faith. It's people with strength in the Lord, bringing those who feel their own weakness into his presence. Church, don't ever underestimate the power that your faith can play in the lives of your friends. You simply need to be willing to intercede on their behalf, to tear open the roof and bring them to the feet of Jesus. So what would that look like? What does it look like to intercede on behalf of a friend? Well, it looks first and foremost like prayer. It is a relentless prayer for our friends, asking Jesus to draw them into a deeper encounter with Him. Do we pray for our friends? Our Christian friends, the ones who are close to us, do we intercede on their behalf? It's a way of caring for their life with Jesus. It's intercession. It's praying that Jesus would meet their every need, emotional, spiritual, physical. Praying for our friends is like tearing off the roof and lowering them to the feet of Jesus. But there are other ways that we can bring our friends to Jesus. Sometimes it comes through an invitation into our own life of following Christ. And we all have non-Christian friends who need to know the restoring power of Jesus. And we can tear open the roof. We can lower them to Jesus' feet by inviting them into the good news of Jesus' love and forgiveness. We can drop them at the feet of Jesus by inviting them into our life as we follow Jesus. When you think about the friends that God has placed in your life today, what might it look like for you to tear the roof off of the house and lower them to the feet of Jesus? This is the cost of friendship: carrying the mat and tearing off the roof. I was talking to Pastor Marcus this week about the message today, and he said, if you go into a spiritual friendship thinking it's going to be an equal transaction, you're going about it all wrong. And he's absolutely right. That's the hard part about being a true friend to someone. True friendship costs us something. Costs us many things. It is only ever achieved when our friendship comes without conditions. And the Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. That's the cost of true friendship. This friendship is precisely the friendship that Jesus has gifted to every one of us. He carried the mat for us. He bore the burden of our sin and shame upon the cross. And He has torn open the roof of heaven, interceding on our behalf. And through His sacrifice, He has reconciled us to God. Jesus demonstrates for us the great cost of friendship. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. Church, you have been loved with the greatest friendship the world has ever seen. Jesus has carried the mat for you. He has torn open the roof of heaven for you. So, having received that love, friends, let us count the cost and take up our cross and follow Jesus and being that kind of friend to the people in our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, I acknowledge that there are all kinds of friendships that we keep and have and we have experience in. But as we focus our attention on You on the cross, we are given a breathtaking picture of what spiritual friendship looks like, that's willing to give everything. And Lord, we can't attain that kind of friendship. We can only experience it from You.
and in our human way, learn to follow your lead, to bless those in our life, to carry the mat, and to tear open the roof with acts of love and service. And so, Lord, these are big picture ideas, but I pray even right now in the living rooms of our people that you would be pressing upon their hearts and minds as to how they can be a spiritual friend to the people that you've already placed in their life today. Spirit, speak to your people. We count the cost. And we follow your lead, Jesus, because we've tasted the great beauty of what real friendship is. Amen.